All right, turn with me in your Bible to Revelation chapter 6. We'll get right into it. Revelation chapter 6. And we've been looking at chapters 4 and 5. Now remember in heaven, turn to Revelation 6, remember in heaven in chapter 4, we saw the high-ranking angelic beings, which are 24 elders, and the four beasts that are four high-ranking, we believe, seraphims around the throne of God, and they praise God as the creator and as the maker of everything, and he made this earth, and even though God made this earth and it's his, who rules over the world right now? Who's the ruler of this world, Marion? Satan is ruling this world, and he's a high-ranking angel that fell away from God and sinned and led us into sin. And so God meant for someone to rule this world. It was not for Satan to rule it. God meant for someone to rule this world that he had made. Just like if I buy an apartment. I've bought apartments in the past, and I've had people manage those apartments for me. I'm going to talk about managers, by the way, this Sunday morning. But God made the world, and he wanted it to be managed. Who did he make the world for to be managed by? It wasn't Satan. Who was it, Denny? Man. It was made for us, and we were supposed to manage it. Satan saw his advantage, and he attacked mankind by tempting Eve and getting her to sin, and she got Adam to sin. And so we've been having 6,000 years now of conflict, and God is bringing forth in the Bible a program to reclaim the earth, to redeem the earth. Now, God is the rightful owner, Revelation 4, but Satan is the ruler. Ruler of this world, and God wants to give it back to man. And so he appointed a man to get it back. All right? Now, since Adam sinned and messed up, he couldn't get it back. So what man did God appoint to get the world back to himself, the earth back to himself? Marion? I like these fast answers. Great. Jesus. Jesus is that man, and he is a man. Jesus is descended from what nation? Just what nation in the Bible?
Israel.
Very good, Madeline. Israel is the nation. God chose Israel. And then God chose a particular tribe within the nation. And what one is that, Marion? Judah. And then God chose one family. And he said, your family will have the one that's going to be the king of the world come from your descendants. And what family is that? Again, Marion?
David.
Very good. All right. And so all of these things are clearly part of history. They're prophesied in the Word of God, and every prophecy in the Word of God came to pass. This man was born of the descendants of Israel, of the tribe of Judah. He came from the family of David. His mother, by the way, who is his natural mother, Mary, she was descendant through David's son, Nathan. His son Nathan, and Joseph, who was not his natural father, but his adopted father, he also is a descendant of David through the tribe, through the man called Solomon. You've heard of him. And so that is the true establishment of the pedigree of this man. Of course, there's something special about this man. This man did not mess up as Adam. He's called the second Adam or the last Adam. Why did he not sin when Satan tempted him? Why did he not fail in his mission, which was to die for the sins of mankind and to shed his blood, his perfect blood, by the way, to redeem and buy back the world for himself? Why didn't he fail in that mission? What made him unable to fail, really? He could be tempted, but he was unable to fail. What was that? The key thing. Marion, again, good. He was God. He was a man, just like I am, flesh and blood. But he was different than any of us in that he was actually God. And he had two natures, one person. And that's the amazing thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's both God and man. And the comforting thing to me is God didn't become an angel. God didn't redeem angels. God didn't redeem Lucifer or his fallen angels. God chose to redeem only you and I, mankind, and to redeem the world back to himself. Now, since Jesus died 2,000 years ago, he was buried, he rose again, he triumphed over Satan. Is he ruling the world today in his kingdom? Is Jesus ruling the world today in his prophesied monarchy, the Davidic monarchy, and is he doing that today? Yes.
No.
No, he's not. He's not ruling on it. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's ruling in heaven. He is sovereign over everything, and he allows sin and Satan to come to pass, and he's overruling all this, but he's not ruling on earth. He is going to rule on earth, and we are not amillennialists that say there's no thousand-year reign of Christ on earth. No, we believe there is. We're premillennialists. His coming is soon, and when he comes, the lion is going to lie down with the lamb. There's going to be peace on earth. He's going to do what the world has failed to do, and he is going to bring that peace on earth. And so we are looking forward to his coming. Now, that's very important because we looked at chapter 4 and 5, and chapter 4 and 5 gives us the picture of what it looks like in heaven. The rightful owner is God, chapter 4. The rightful Savior or mediator or king is Jesus in chapter 5. And then we are introduced in chapter 5 to this thing right here, the scroll. And a lot of people don't understand this scroll. This is a book. It's translated in your King James Bible as a book, which is what it is. It's a scroll was a book back in the early days. That's how their books looked. They didn't have books like we have today. They had scrolls. And they opened them up and read from them. And this scroll had, it says, seven seals on it. And I want you to notice, that's in chapter 5, but I want you to go with me now and to chapter 6. But realize that the scroll, no one could open the scroll and unloose the seals to read the writing on it. Nobody in heaven was worthy. There was no man that was worthy. And that's the key, because it takes a man to manage the earth, to rule over the earth. There was no man that's worthy. Why is there no man that's worthy? Very simple question. Mary? We're sinful. We've all sinned. There's nobody that's worthy. You have to be sinless, okay? Nobody is. And so John began to cry because nobody was worthy. But then he saw a lamb who had died for our sins and taken care of our sins, who had no sin of his own, and he was able to take the book, the scroll, and open the seals of the scroll. Now, here's the thing. Why is that so important that he's going to open the seals of the scroll? In order for you to understand that, you have to understand what the scroll is. And I think Brother Bob Bajeski will agree with me. I do not believe this scroll necessarily is the title deed to the earth. I don't believe that's what it's really clearly teaching. Now, it is necessary for this scroll to be opened up, but I don't believe it's the title deed to the earth, because there's a large scroll, Brother Bob, in chapter 6, and then there is later on introduced a small scroll. And the small scroll is not the title deed to the earth either. Now, many teachers teach, oh, this is the title deed to the earth. This enables the Lord to rule over the earth and to reclaim the earth. But it is not per se the title deed to the earth. What is this scroll? Does anybody know what this scroll is and the little scroll following? Yes.
Well, I don't know about the little scroll.
Okay.
But that's the judgment.
Oh, very good. Very important. This scroll is the revelation of the wrath of God upon this earth. Would you agree with that, Brother Bob?
I would agree with that.
It is a revelation of the wrath of God upon this earth. Very, very important. You say, Pastor, why is that very important? You see, the wrath of God in Revelation chapter 6, which I personally believe coincides with Matthew 24, is the actual beginning of the 70th week of Daniel that we've talked about, the last 7 years before the thousand-year reign of Christ. And at the beginning of the 70th week, or the 7 years, these seals begin to be opened. And people that believe that the seals are the wrath of God, the opening of the seals are the wrath of God, say, well, we're not appointed to wrath, and so we can't be here when these seals are opened. Not true. These seals are not the wrath of God. The wrath of God is not unleashed until all these seals are opened, and the scroll then is free to be opened, and then the wrath of God can be poured out. The seals, the seven seals, are, here it is, prior events that must happen before the wrath of God can be poured out on this earth to judge the earth and therefore reclaim it. Very important. Only one person can do that, just like one person can rule. Only one person can judge and bring this earth to a conclusion. And that's the one who bought it. That's the one who paid for our sins. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is going to open the scroll. He's going to first unleash the seals. And that will not happen until the 70th week begins. Now, that's very important. That's why I believe we're going to read about things in Matthew 24. We're going to read about things in Revelation 6. And people are always trying to say these things are happening. No, they haven't happened yet. They will not happen until the 70th week begins and these things begin to take place, I believe. I believe that's the prophetic correlation of all this together, why Daniel needs to go together with Revelation. I'm going to take off my coat. It's getting hot in here. All right. So let's go back to Revelation 6 now in verse 1 and look at that. And I have my notes here, so I'm going to open this up. It says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" Now, when this seal is opened up, remember, this is the first of the prior events that must happen at the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel, the 7 years. This is the first prior event or events that must take place, and this seal must be opened. Notice that when it's opened, he heard the noise of thunder. I think we've talked about this before. Why the noise of thunder? By the way, yesterday I saw some lightning and I heard some thunder. How many heard thunder and saw lightning? Yes, okay. We had a very hot day yesterday and later on it started to lightning and thunder. All right. Why the noise of thunder at this point? Mary?
The anger of God's.
Yes. Remember we said these are opening, these are seals that must be opened up to unleash the wrath of God. And when the first seal is opened up, it's saying the wrath is coming. When I heard the thunder, the rain hadn't started yet. All right. When I saw the lightning, it hadn't started yet. But I knew it was off in the distance and it was coming to us. And I was in Dunmore at the time. And then it started coming down in sheets. Wow. Just torrents. And so this tells us that now that that seal is opened up, that the wrath of God is about to happen. It won't be long now. These things must come to pass shortly. One thing after the other, then the wrath of God will come. All right, so it says there that there was this thunder, and then it says, "I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see,' and I saw," verse 2, "and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer." And that is the first seal there. So the first seal is a white horse with a rider on it that goes forth conquering and to conquer. Now, I don't want to just make this one person. I want to let you see that this represents the first prior condition that must happen, I believe, at the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. So that white horse represents some things that are happening at the beginning of the 70th week. And it can be more than one thing that's happening at the beginning of the 70th week that it represents. Now, one of the things I believe that when you think of something white, like a white flag or something like that, what do you think of when you think of white?
Surrender,
peace by surrender. And this is exactly in correlation with other scripture of the Bible. So that's the first thing I want to say about this white horse, that there's some kind of peace by surrender that's going to happen at the beginning of the seventh week. You say, how do you know that? Not only the color white, but look at verse 4 of Revelation chapter 6, right here in the context. Look at verse 4, very simple. It says, "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given him that sat thereon to take peace." To take peace. From the earth. You can't take something that does not exist. Amen? So there is a peace that's going to be there at the beginning of the 7 years. I believe it'll be a false peace. The Bible talks about that, and that will be a prior event or a condition that we're to look for. And if we look at other scriptures, I think we have a good idea about that that false peace. What scripture would you look at if you're thinking of a false peace with the nation Israel now, where Israel has a false peace and they've entered into an agreement that gives them, or a covenant that gives them, a sense of security, a sense of peace? They surrender certain things in order to get that peace. They surrender their military strength, and they surrender land for peace, and so forth and so on. What scripture comes to mind as corresponding with that? I'll give you a hint. It's in the Old Testament. There's more than one, but Bobby?
Yeah, there's more than one. The one I'm thinking is in Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah 29, which talks about the covenant of death.
Okay, very good. Let's very close. Very good, Bobby. Let's turn there. Let's turn there. Isaiah, he's absolutely right, and it's 28. Isaiah 28. And that is one key scripture on this peace, or this false peace, and it involves Israel, and it's in chapter 15, and here's the covenant or agreement, and it says, "In your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through," the overflowing scourge is an invading army, is invading people, invading soldiers, and the idea of scourge is a whip. God is going to chasten Israel for making a covenant of peace and security with somebody other than Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, with somebody other than the God of Israel, that they've put their peace in a man, and he says, when your covenant with death shall be disannulled, your agreement with hell shall not stand. So it's a hellish agreement. When I'm going to chasten you for this, I'm going to punish you for this, then shall ye be trodden down by it. And that's what it's talking about there in Isaiah 28 and verse, what did I read? Verse 18? Verse 18. You can go back to verse 15 as well. And look what it says, "Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." In other words, we're not going to be militarily invaded by these enemies because we have made a security and a compact and a covenant with hell and with death, and we're going to be secure in that. And God says, "Oh, no, you're not. That's a false peace you've got there." And by the way, anybody that makes false peace and makes peace on false bases is not going to be ultimately peaceful. Peace has to be with strength and so forth. So this is what's going to happen at the beginning of the 70th week. Now, we say, well, who is Israel going to be trusting? Who are they going to be dependent upon to give them that peace? What scripture answers that question? Isaiah 28, verse 15 and 18 tells us they're going to have this agreement, and it's going to be with death and with hell, and Satan is behind it, of course. But who is the man that they make that with? Brother Bob.
Daniel 9:27, "The prince that shall come."
Very good. Let's go there, right on the button. Daniel 9 and verse 27. Let's go there. And you might write these scriptures down to go with Revelation. They'll help you to understand what's going to happen. Now, let me just say this. Many of you may have heard before, or you hear the very popular teaching today. Well, all of this is really not quite that important to me, because I'm going to be, if I'm a Christian, I'm going to be raptured before this happens. Remember what I said. God promised you protection from the wrath of God. The wrath of God has not been unleashed until these prior events take place, so you will not be gone. All seven of these seals need to be opened first, and then you'll be gone before the wrath of God is unleashed. And we'll study this in Revelation. It's very clear. If you study with me chapter 6, it's right there. And so you'll not find a rapture anywhere up to this point yet in Revelation. It doesn't come till chapter 7 after these are open. Find me a rapture in here. I don't see a rapture anywhere. Find it to me. I'll give you $500. I'll give it to you right, you know, I'll write you a check. But it'll bounce, but no, I'm just kidding. But you won't be able to challenge me on it, legitimately. So I've made this challenge for years. But anyway, Revelation chapter 6 says that that's going to happen. And Brother Bob, do you have Daniel 9:27 so you can read that out loud? Do you have it there? Daniel 9:27?
Yes.
Okay, would you read it, please?
Okay. 26 says the princess shall come. 26.
Okay, read 26 also then.
All right. It says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city of the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Verse 27 picks up with the future time. It says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined to be poured upon the desolate.
Very good. Okay, so we are very clear on this, that he is the prince of the people that destroyed the temple. And what people destroyed the temple under General Titus in AD 70, the temple in Jerusalem in Israel? They invaded Israel, and this man is going to be a prince that will descend from them. He shall come, in other words, in the future from that day, he shall come. What people destroyed the temple in AD 70? The Romans, the Roman Empire. And the people that correspond to the Roman Empire today are a people that are developing and building and growing a union, and they now have their own currency. They have 27 nations in it. They're ruled over by 10 nations called the WEU. And that Block is now making peace and making covenants with the Middle East in order to extend their empire with the European neighborhood agreements that they're making, the Barcelona Accord that they made in 1995. They have their own currency. They have more people than the United States. They have over 400 million people that are under one government, really, one ultimate government. They are under a treaty right now called the Lisbon Treaty. That's up for ratification. They're in a process to ratify that right now. The Roman Empire, the Bible says, will be revived, and it's going to be the European Union. And so this individual that shall make this peace with Israel that will guarantee them protection and security will be the leader of the European Union. It will not be the United States president. It will not be Barack Obama or John McCain or some United States president. It will be the head of the European Union. Okay? Now, the world may be organized into blocks of areas and all under the UN, including the European Union under UN law, which is already happening right now, that the world leaders take their cues from UN law before they invade or do something in a military way. But at any rate, this leader is going to be a leader from the European Union, the revived Roman Empire, and Israel is going to make peace with him. Is there anything today in the news that makes us think about that this is drawing near, that there are things that are happening that we can see preparations are coming into play here and things are drawing near toward this end? Mary?
They just had a summit with the president and with the other leaders.
Yes.
Right, and so forth, and put peace.
Yes.
Unification between Palestinians and
that's exactly right. They're trying right now. President Bush, before he leaves office, wants to have a peace treaty. The foreign secretary, the leader of the European Union, that his office was created under a recommendation called 666, by the way. A whole book's been written on that by Herb Peters. But this man is Javier Solana, and he currently holds the high office of the foreign minister of the European Union. And he is involved in these peace negotiations. The President of the United States wants to have a final settlement where Israel and the Palestinians will live together in peace, and he's trying for a comprehensive final solution to Middle East peace. And so they're working on that right now very heavily. And the Bible says when the European Union leader makes a covenant with many within Israel to guarantee them security and safety, that will be peace. Now, I believe that covenant is in Daniel 28, 15 and 18, but Daniel 9, 27 talks about another covenant that is already in existence that is confirmed by that covenant of Isaiah 28. What covenant has God already made with Israel that we know is going to be restarted or confirmed so that it can restart for a short period of time? God's already made a covenant with Israel. And this individual who is going to be a satanic individual, he's going to be the head of the European Union, the revived Roman Empire, he's going to confirm this covenant with Israel, and it will allow them to do, as Bobby just read in Daniel 9:27, it'll allow them to be involved in their sacrifices and in their temple rites. What covenant did God already make with Israel that is already something that Israel has been under with God that's going to be restarted? Yes, and that covenant has a name. What covenant is that called that involves temple worship? Who got that agreement with God to have temple worship and to have the revelation of how it was to be done and so forth? Who got that revelation? What's the man's name that got that? Hero. Actually, that is Moses got that covenant on Mount Sinai. And there was the temple worship there, and he got that covenant on Mount Sinai. And so when this covenant of security and protection, according to Isaiah 28, does not work, it will also involve that the man who's the head of the European Union, he will give Israel the right to reinstitute their Mosaic law. And to have the Mosaic law functioning, you've got to have the animal sacrifices and so forth and so on. Now, really, with the sacrifice of Christ, that has been ended, but Israel has not accepted Christ, and so they are going to live under the full Mosaic law that was given in the Old Testament in their land, and they've been brought back to their land, and the leader of the revived Roman Empire, the European Union, is going to give them the right to rebuild their temple on the mount and to reinstitute those sacrifices. And it will be a time of peace, a time of protection, and that will be the conditions at the beginning of the seventh week. Do we see that right now? Yes or no? Do we see that right now? No, it's not here right now. They don't have their temple mount. In 1967, I remember it very well, in 6 days, the Israelis cleaned the clocks of 60 million Arabs, and they took over Jerusalem for the first time in 2,000 years. The Temple Mount was captured. Men went up on that mount with tears streaming down their eyes, Israeli soldiers, as they liberated the Temple Mount. The head of the rabbinic council, Shlomo Goren, asked for explosives to blow up the Mosque of Omar that had usurped the place of worship of the holy site of the Jewish people so that they could rebuild their temple. Now, this is the time. This is redemption. And there was a man by the name of Gershon Solomon that's now leading a charge to rebuild the temple. He's head of the Temple Mount Faithful Society. He's about my age, maybe a little older. He was one of the soldiers that were there in that war. And he is leading the way. He believes that Messiah will come in his lifetime. He believes with all of his heart that the temple will be rebuilt in his lifetime. They've made preparations for it. They have furnishings for it. They've discovered a number of articles of the temple, or rebuilt a number of articles for temple worship. And they've already offered a sacrifice, a Passover sacrifice. And they do not have one thing, and that is the Israeli government does not allow them to go on the Temple Mount. Why not? Because way back in 1967, the head of the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, Moshe Dayan, the guy with the patch on his eye, the great general, he gave the Temple Mount back to the Arabs, and the Jordanians had the rule over the Temple Mount. Later on, it went to the Palestinian Authority. And he said, for peace, we will do that. We will not be over the Temple Mount. And we will not destroy the Islamic worship site there. We don't want war and all of this stuff. And so that's the way it's been for all this time. But at the beginning of the 70th week, either one of two things is going to occur or take place. Either the Mosque of Omar is going to be obliterated by some kind of war. Some people believe Ezekiel 38 and 39 will happen before the 70th week begins, and that mosque will be out of there. Others believe that it'll stay there, and a wall will be rebuilt, or will be built up, and then there'll be a partition of that, and there'll be a partition. Or if there's not a wall, there'll just be a partition between those two. And that's debated. But at any rate, this covenant is going to give Israel security, is going to give them protection, and is going to give them peace. Now, there's one more thing. We're almost out of time. There's one more thing that is connoted by this white horse. And you say, Pastor, how do you know that there's more connoted by this white horse? Well, remember I said that there is another passage of Scripture that comments exactly on these seals in Revelation 6. It parallels each of these seals. Does anybody know, if you were asked, what passage in the New Testament parallels the opening of these seals? And from the first to the second to the third and so forth, what passage kind of comments on this and parallels this passage and actually came before it? The revelation of this scripture came before John received this revelation in AD 95. Which passage is it, Bobby?
Matthew 24:4-31.
Excellent. Let's turn there real quick because we're almost out of time. Matthew 24, and I hope you have your notes and that you're taking notes and you bring them back next week because we're going to continue with this. But I want you to go to Matthew 24 now. And 4 and following. By the way, it's important you understand these things because you will be here if you are alive. You'll be here when these things happen, even if you're a believer in Christ. And here's what it says in Matthew 24, and look at verse 4. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man," watch this, "deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now, white horse, rider on the horse with a bow, not shooting arrows, connotes a false peace. By the way, that's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5. Israel will be saying there's peace and protection during these times. But, it also connotes what, according to this scripture in Matthew 24, 4 and 5? What does it connote as well? Kristen? False religion that will deceive people into believing that we're going to have, again, peace, prosperity, let the good times roll. And many leaders have been saying that we have to get rid of religious tension. How many have ever heard that? We've got to get rid of religious strife in order to have peace in the world. How many have heard that effect? Who knows the leader right now that represents the European Union, the UN, the United States, and Russia in negotiating a peace in the Middle East between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And this individual, very prominent individual in Europe, this individual is saying now and is really working for the Alliance of Civilizations, which is an agency in the United Nations to bring the end of religious strife. And he wants like a one world ethic of religions. He wants religions to agree, and where they disagree, to still be one in a basic agreement that we're the good guys, we're religious, and we believe in God, and we believe in prosperity and peace, and we can't have prosperity unless if we're fighting one another. And so let's get rid of our sectarian religious differences. Let's not proselytize one another and all this stuff. Anybody know the man that is now the envoy for the quartet and is really working toward this? He's just converted to be a Roman Catholic, by the way, from his heritage or background. How many have heard of this man, Bobby?
Are you speaking of the guy from Spain?
No, I know who you're thinking of. That's
Carlos Del Verga.
I know who you're thinking of. This is another man. His name, and you'll know it when I call it, is Tony Blair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well known. Tony Blair. Very charismatic guy, right? We all like Tony Blair, don't we? Well, Tony Blair is working for this kind of false religion. And he's a big mover, and he's also a political leader. Now, by the way, let me just say this. The man that is going to be the head of the European Union is going to be a political leader, a military leader. He will not be the Antichrist. He will not be the Antichrist. He is not a Jew necessarily. And an Antichrist has to be a Jew. The Antichrist, not an Antichrist. The Antichrist has to be a Jew. And he has to be accepted by the Jewish people as their Messiah. And that's a qualification. They know the religious Jews won't be deceived at all by anybody that's not a Jew. You've got to have a Jewish person. And so he's going to be a Jew. You say, well, you say that, Pastor, but where is in the Bible? You can study about it in Daniel 11. We don't have time to do that right now. We could. I could go a lengthy study. Come on Wednesday nights. We're studying Daniel verse by verse. We're right in that chapter. We're going to be studying that. But there's going to be two big men. One is the political leader. That's the man of Daniel 9:27. He gives Israel just simply the real estate and the right to reinstitute their religion. He doesn't lead in their religious worship. All he does is sign an agreement that allows them to reinstitute their Mosaic covenant. He promises them peace and protection. He's the political military leader. He has the bow with no arrows. But there is also an Jewish Antichrist that is going to be a big religious leader, and he is going to be in Israel, and he is going to be over Israel like a prime minister of Israel, and that tends to argue against him being the Pope. All right, Pope may be an Antichrist, but I don't really believe he is the Antichrist. Remember, you and I talked about that, Kristen. I believe that he is a Jewish man that will compromise greatly, and he will lead the people of Israel to believe that he's their Messiah. And then he in turn, the Bible says, will worship a God that his fathers knew not. Who is that God? It'll be the head of the European Union. It'll be the political leader. He's going to lead them for the sake of prosperity and peace into this alliance. And he's going to say, this is where it's at. And by the way, he's going to be very religious Jew. He's going to have the ability to do powers and miracles, call fire down from heaven to make these people believe. And you better believe he better have some deception. Even then, all the Jews are not going to go along with it. There'll be a minority of the Orthodox that won't go along with it, but many will. So at the beginning of the 70th week, the 7 years here, this is the first prior event that's going to happen. And this will let us know that we only have a short time left until the wrath of God is poured out. And before that, the tribulation and so forth. Come next week, we're going to look at a little more about this in the next seal and the next events, okay? And you should be able to know where you are. All right, let's stop there, and we'll see you next week.